Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? It'd be a paradise, put up a fucking line. You took all the trees and put them in a tree museum. And charge the people a dollar and a half to see them. No, 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 don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone. It'd be a paradise and put up a fucking lie.
Well, where do you find paradise in the midst of all the pavement? Today on Route 51, we've got two answers for you in two of North Central Wisconsin's biggest cities, the Monk Botanical Gardens in Wausau and the Schmeekly Reserve in Stevens Point. Two urban sanctuaries that combine outdoor recreation and natural science education in settings of woodlands and water. I'm Glenn Moberg. Our guests today on Route 51 are Megan Espy, Outreach Coordinator of the Schmeekly Reserve, described in its mission statement as a natural area on the campus of UW-Stevens Point that serves as a sanctuary for ecological communities and people. And Linda Grilly, President, and Vicki Richmond Hawkins, past President of the Monk Botanical Gardens, which, according to its mission statement, fosters sustainability and environmental stewardship as they promote the appreciation and understanding of the natural environment and the enduring relationship between plants and people. Have you been to the Monk Botanical Gardens? Have you been to the Schmeekly Reserve? What do you think of these sanctuaries from the hustle and bustle of city life? Do you think as a nation we're doing enough to promote conservation and education about the environment? As always, we want you to join the conversation. You can give us a toll-free call at 1-800-780-9742. That number again is 1-800-780-9742. Or if you put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, I will read it live on the air. Well, ladies, thank you so much for being with us today.
Our pleasure.
Now, the Schmeekly mission statement calls for providing a refuge for ecological communities, research as an outdoor lab for teaching and outdoor recreation. And the Monk Gardens, according to its mission statement, fosters sustainability and environmental stewardship as they promote appreciation and understanding of the natural environment. These are pretty similar, but really on kind of a different scale with a different emphasis. Megan, why don't we start with you?
Sure. The Schmeekly Reserve was created in 1977. And it was a way to use some natural land that was on the north edge of the campus of the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. It was set forth with three priorities, like you said, to serve as a refuge for native ecological communities of central Wisconsin, to serve as an outdoor learning laboratory for research and education, and also for the community and university's recreation needs.
And similar mission statement, Linda Grilly, for the Monk Gardens, but I think a little bit of a different take on it.
A little bit of a different take. One, we are much younger. We were started in 2003. When you said 1977, I went, wow, that could be our parents. We definitely are different in that we're a botanical garden. And the sustainability factor of how do you sustain and support nature and people together. Similar? Definitely. You would feel a difference if you went and visited both of them. They are different experiences and both beautiful. I have had the luxury of being involved in hiking and biking at the Schmeekly Reserve and spend a lot of time out at the gardens.
And the size is different, too. You've got
21 acres.
Acres. 21 acres mm-hmm. at the Monk Gardens at about 280.
280 at Schmeekly Reserve.
So the Schmeekly Reserve is about 10 times larger, and you're affiliated with UW-Stevens Point.
Correct.
Right. Although we do have a connection with the Monk Botanical Gardens with UW-Marathon County. And so the focus and that what Robert Monk wanted when he donated the property to us was a focus on education. It was in one of the 21 points he had on his list before he would transfer the land to us. And the connection with the university, we do have faculty and staff from UWMC that are on our board of directors. And it allows us a place to be able to take our classes out there. So So botany classes are out there. I have an Upward Bound class. I'm also the director of continuing education here at UWMC. And my Upward Bound class is doing a field trip out there next week, spending the afternoon. And we have lots of school children on the out there all summer long.
Now, you recently changed the name from the Robert W. Monk Gardens to the Monk Botanical Gardens. Why is that?
The name change came about as a request from the family. They pointed out, yes, they pointed out to us that their mom, Carol, was as important to the contribution of the land as their dad, and would we consider changing the name? So we thought about it. It didn't take us very long to say really it was a contribution of the couple. Now, Bob Monk, Robert W. Monk, was definitely the shaper of the land. He thoroughly enjoyed being outside, and as one of the children said, the contribution he brought to the family was a lot of mud in the house that his mom then got to wash off the floors. But the acknowledgement that it was a family effort to have that land and to decide to give it to us. So we changed the name out of respect to the family.
Well, putting the word botanical garden in the name, too, really stresses the fact that it is a botanical garden. Some people are listening might not know what that is, because it's a technical term in a lot of ways.
It is a technical term, and one that we've had fun as we've given talks around the North Central region about a botanical garden, asking people, have you ever been to a botanical garden? And most people we talk with have not. So we've had to do a lot of education about the purpose for a botanical garden. And the two primary purposes are education and research. And we do our beginning as a baby organization to do some research. But the education, as Vicki spoke about, helping people understand different ways that nature can be beautiful. When you go to a botanical garden, you will see distinct smaller gardens within the total botanical garden. And each one of those distinct gardens has a different flavor to it. So far, we have developed about a third of the land. And we have a Japanese-style meditation garden that's in development. And that feels very, very different than when you go over to our kitchen garden where you can see how to grow fruits and vegetables and herbs. Mm-hmm. And that's just an example.
How many botanical gardens are there in Wisconsin?
I believe six. The closest one to us is Green Bay Botanical Garden, and they have been a wonderful mentor to us. The next closest is down in Madison, and then the Twin Cities has a botanical garden.
And there's in Milwaukee. People might have been to the Burner. It's got wonderful roses that are at the Burner. There's the Rotary Garden in Janesville.
Right.
Another very nice
but
one.
And there are people who have little private gardens, but they're not public botanical gardens, and we are public. Although we eventually will be charging. Right now we're not charging because we don't have the staff to be there to collect the money.
Good reason to go now. So, Megan, at the Monk Botanical Gardens, it sounds like they're really developing things in the sense that you go to one place and there's a meditation garden. You go to another place and there's the kitchen garden. They have these different areas set aside. I get the feeling that the Schmeekly Reserve is a little bit less undeveloped and more natural with a lot of stuff going on there. You've got a lake with an abundance of fish, miles of walking trails, and all sorts of different habitats.
Schmeekly Reserve is a really natural place and undeveloped, and that's by design. It's meant to be to preserve those native ecological communities. There is a 24-acre Lake Jonas. One uncommon known thing is that it's a man-made lake. A lot of people don't know that. It looks very natural and very much part of the landscape. It was created in the 1970s when Century Insurance on the north side of Stevens Point needed fill to build their new world headquarters. So that's a fun fact about Lake Jonas in Schmeekly Reserve, which is really the crown jewel of Schmeekly Reserve. Beautiful lake. I encourage people to visit in the spring and the fall when the colder air temperature interacts with the warmer water temperatures, and there are beautiful fogs that lift off the lake, and the fall colors that reflect on the water are in the fall are very beautiful as well.
And even though it's man-made, it's a spring-fed lake, correct?
It filled naturally when they excavated the lake, so it filled in from the groundwater. There are no springs that enter it.
And I find it interesting that this urban oasis or urban sanctuary, as we've been calling it, is really kind of dependent on the development that went on around it. Century World Headquarters is created. That's a development they needed to fill, and the result is a natural area.
Yeah, they came about the same time in the 1970s and looking at what to do with what was former farmland on the north side of Stevens Point that wasn't very productive farmland and how to utilize that for the campus.
Vicki and Linda, who was Robert W. Monk III, and how did this land get set aside?
Bob Monk III was a realtor here in the Wausau area. Security Realty was his firm, and just a longtime lover of plants. There are stories about Bob peddling lilacs down in the southeast side of Wausau, and a lot of those lilac bushes that are there are a result of a very young Bob Monk peddling those in that area. But he always had a love of gardens, and so he developed this area when they purchased this area on the north side of Wausau, north of NTC, where we were located. He just wanted to put in plants here and there. So we've got a lot of plantings of things that you normally wouldn't see in north central Wisconsin, just because Bob loved it, and he put it in somewhere. He also built that lake, well, he and his sons. It's a man-made lake that we have as well. And the family grew up there around that that reserve that he had for the community.
So once again, we have a natural area in the middle of a city, and it's really dependent in a lot of ways on a private individual who had a vision.
Yes. Yes. And Bob's vision then happened when he came across one of our early members of the Monk Botanical Gardens, Darla Zastro, and she was on his property. And they ended up with this conversation. He came up and wanted to know who was on his property, and she just moved into the neighborhood. And he found out she worked here at the university. He told her about his dream, that he wanted this piece of property not to be developed as condos and apartments, but to be a reserve as a botanical garden, because he visited botanical gardens all over the world, and he wanted one for Wausau and the greater central Wisconsin area.
Did he upset any developers by taking that prime land off the market?
I don't think so. He maybe his children. I don't know. But because I think they saw what his dream was.
Well, we know who Bob Monk was. Who was Fred Schmeichle?
Who was Fred Schmeichle? Schmeichle is a great German name that trips some people up. We've heard lots of iterations of how to pronounce that at Schmeichle Reserve. Fred Schmeichle came from Nebraska to the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point in the 1920s. He was hired to teach agriculture. And by the 1930s, he believed that there was a real need to teach about conservation and managing our natural resources. So this
and he was way ahead of his time.
Very early on, yes. And so he transitioned into doing that in his coursework and taking students on bird walks and plant walks to the natural land north of campus that was former farmland. And when some initial land was what would later become Schmeichle Reserve was set aside, he said very prophetically, someday this area will serve as an island of green in the city of Stevens Point. So when Schmeichle Reserve was created in the 1970s, he became the very deserving namesake. And I might add, too, that the conservation education courses that he was teaching in the 1930s developed into a conservation education major. So teaching others, teaching teachers how to teach about conservation, which is now one of the largest undergraduate programs in the nation for that.
And that was one of the first conservation majors in the country that Fred Schmeichle pioneered.
Yeah.
You've got a wonderful synopsis of the history of the reserve on your website, which is uwsp.edu/Schmeichle, and that is spelled S-C-H-M-E-E-C-K-L-E. Again, that's S-C-H-M-E-E-C-K-L-E. And according to that history, the area that the Schmeichle Reserve is on right now is one of the first that was surveyed in north central Wisconsin. And it was heavily logged. It was clear cut at one point.
Yeah, yeah. That would be some of the early history. And like I said, you know, serving as farmland, there are a lot of wetlands in Schmiegler Reserve, so those would have been drained for farming as well, and some upland crops growing, some livestock pasturing, but it's really rocky and a lot of wetlands, so it didn't serve that use long term.
The synopsis describes it as kind of a bathtub. You've got all of this bedrock that's right near the surface, and so you could try to farm on it, but the soil is only a few inches thick in many places. So yeah. They weren't really successful with that.
No. In fact, on some of the trails, you'll see a lot of boulders and rock pushed up to the surface, and people will think that the glaciers dumped it there. But the glacier stopped east of town along that hill you can see on Highway 10 out toward Custer. And Stevens Point and Schmiegler Reserve would have been that glacial outwashed plain of sand and silt and all that material pushed forward. So the boulders that you see on the trails in Schmiegler Reserve are actually the freeze and the thaw cycle, and they get pushed up to the surface.
And we should probably mention that if you want to find out more about the Munk Botanical Gardens, it is rwmunkgardens.org, and Munk is M-O-N-K, just like it sounds, rwmunkgardens.org. On the Schmiegler Reserve, you've got something like 5 different habitats, ecological habitats. Why don't you tell us about some of them and what folks will see in those different areas?
Sure. There's 5 miles of trails in Schmiegler Reserve. It only takes a couple of hours to probably hit most of those for most people. And what's really fascinating, and one thing that I personally really enjoy about walking at Schmiegler Reserve, is the diversity of habitats. And we talked about Lake Jonas, the 24-acre lake. There's a 1-mile trail that goes around that lake, so that's a really popular loop for students and the community. And there are other habitats like tall forested areas, big pine trees, one area we call the Chilla Woodlot, which is more pristine forest land. There are lots of sedge meadows, so sedge grasses and things that grow in these wet areas, and lots of boardwalks. The boardwalks are really fun to go over and get into these habitats. There are other wetlands. There are prairies, restored small prairies. There's a restored oak savanna. And there's also the Moses Creek wetland, which in 2010 was a Wisconsin Department of Transportation wetland mitigation project to restore wetlands that were taken as part of highway projects. And that's a 17-acre restored wetland where the ditched Moses Creek Canal, which had been ditched by farmers a long time ago, was restored back to its natural meanders and wetlands. So it's very much changing as you walk through those very different habitats.
And that creek used to really serve as a drainage for the entire surrounding wetland area. There are historical there are stories of Stevens Point being just flooded out when Munk Creek, during a heavy rainstorm, would become a river and then a lake, and next thing you know, the fledgling community of Stevens Point is underwater.
Yeah, Moses Creek was very prone to flooding, and flooding happened on campus in the 1970s. There's these great historic photos of students canoeing past their dorms. And so hopefully we'll see long-term with that Moses Creek restoration project that area can hold back that water from campus and from the city of Stevens Point and provide a place where that can stay in the springtime.
And you know, if you visit the area and you look at it, it's hard to believe that it's only been since the late 70s that this 288-acre preserve has been created. It looks like it's been there forever.
Yeah, very naturalized. And that's by design in the management that we do. We had a big windstorm that a lot of folks in Stevens Point know about with straight line winds in 2011. And folks will ask us even still, why are there so many trees down in the forest? Well, if they're a hazard to our visitors or if they're blocking trails, we will cut them out. But otherwise, we leave them. And so it becomes this very naturalized landscape that people enjoy because it's not so managed at like city parks or recreation areas.
Why should people visit the Munk Gardens this summer?
Oh, many, many reasons. One simple reason would be to get ideas for their own yard and what potential there is in their landscaping and things they could plan on doing. Another is just for the fun of it. We have 4 grandchildren visiting us this week from out of town, and yesterday we took a picnic up to our treehouse. There was a beautiful breeze up there, and I'm talking 2 5-year-olds and an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old, so little kids. They spent about an hour and a half running around the trails. I am sure they got no ideas for what they could do in their landscaping, but they had a great time enjoying nature. They came back telling me about the frogs in the pond, and did I know that there was a yellow flower over here, and just all kinds of fun things. And we see that happen constantly. Another reason to come out to the garden is for events. We have a variety of educational events and family events that go on all year long, and it's fun. It is just a good place.
You have an Easter egg hunt every spring?
We have our spring egg hunt. We have a plant sale, flea market. We have an event with Reggie, the Raptor Education Group, that we do Raptors in the Gardens in June. This fall, we'll have two major events coming up. We have our kind of our autumn fest, kind of fall event that we work with a lot of organizations such as the Wassanoon Optimists, who provide the pumpkins, and it's a whole fall event. And this year, for the first time, we are having a medieval adventure at the gardens, and it'll be a two-day event. The Friday night will be at the Westwood Conference Center. There will be tickets for that. That's a dinner, a fundraiser for adults. And then Saturday is the day-long family event to come out and learn about medieval times. We're working with the Society for Creative Anachronism that has a chapter at Stevens Point.
You'll have people dressed up in medieval costumes and doing the reenactments?
They will be doing... excuse me, educational events, because the SCA really focuses on education as well, which is one of the reasons we partnered with them. So there will be events on jousting and combat, but also on weaving or herbs or a whole variety of kinds of activities for that day. The other reason to come to the gardens, if you just want to come out, is just for respite. We want people to be able to come out and have a quiet place to come to, or come and listen to birds if you're there early in the morning.
You had a bird watching event on International Migratory Bird Day this year.
Yes, we did. And we've got a swift tower that the local bird club installed on our property. So, yes, there's lots of reasons to come out and just reconnect with Mother Earth.
Megan Espy, same question for you. Why should people come out to the Schmeekly Reserve this summer?
Well, Schmeekly's really in its summer glory right now. The ferns and the greenery and all of the plant life that's in full growth right now. So we encourage folks to come out and walk the trails and enjoy the summer weather out there and all of that. We are part of the campus, so we do tend to be a little busier from September to May with college students who are enjoying recreation in the reserve and doing research studies. So summer is a nice time for the community to kind of have their say in what they're doing out there and enjoy a little bit quieter trails, though we are getting a lot of out-of-town visitors right now as well. We are hosting a new program this summer that will be in late July and early August. It's a family program. It's called Summer Habitat Adventures, and this will be put on by our current graduate student. And this will focus on our diversity of habitats, like I mentioned. So we'll have family programs focused on prairies and wetlands and forests, where these are programs that are geared toward children ages 4 to 10. And we're really targeting family groups, so we'd like them to come with their parents or guardians and come for a couple-hour program to explore those habitats. And then we're also looking ahead to the fall to our Candlelight Hike Festival, which I know a lot of folks have come to. It's our biggest event of the year. We draw well over 2,000 people for that event, where we have torchlit trails and hands-on activities and a campfire character program, all revolving around a natural history theme. Each event is a little different because there's a different topic. And so that's one thing that we'll start getting ready for fall, and that I believe will be Friday, October 28th this fall. So you can mark your calendars for that.
And there are links to both the Schmeekly Reserve and the Munk Botanical Gardens on our Route 51 Facebook page. We're going to take a short break. Today on Route 51, we are looking at two urban sanctuaries, the Schmeekly Reserve of Stevens Point and the Munk Botanical Gardens of Wausau, with Megan Espy of the Schmeekly Reserve and Linda Grilly and Vicki Richmond Hawkins of the Munk Gardens. I'm Glenn Mobrick. If you think these places are special, if you think they should be supported and funded, if you think more people need to know about them, tell us about your experiences and join the conversation at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. Here's some music by Sting.
Many years have passed since those summer days among the fields of barley. See the children run as the sun goes down among the fields of barley. You remember me when the west wind moves upon the fields of barley. You can tell the sun in his jealous sky that we walked in fields of barley.
Thank you to the business sponsors who help support WPR programs. Businesses like Nutsy Mutts and Crazy Cats and the Mabel Tainter Theater play a huge role in the success of WPR. Your business can too. Details at WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-Law.com.
Now when I built my house, I cut 6 trees to clear out the land. But there's 30 or more left, and you know that they're gonna stay. It's a squirrel sanctuary, they think this woods is their home.
Jesse Colin Young talking about his squirrel sanctuary at his home on a ridgetop. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we're talking about two urban sanctuaries, natural areas that combine outdoor recreation and education, with Megan Espy of the Schmeekly Reserve of Stevens Point and Linda Grilly and Vicki Richmond Hawkins of the Monk Botanical Gardens of Wausau. There are links to both of those sites on our Route 51 Facebook page, and you can join the conversation at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or put a comment on that Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. I want to get back to talking about habitat, because both of these areas provide habitats and at least pass-through territory for migrating birds in the spring and the fall. But the Schmeekly Reserve exists within what is called the tension zone, which is not a metaphor or a description of human emotional anxiety. It is the area, dear listeners, where northern habitats and southern habitats coexist. So you have mammals and birds living together that normally are not seen in one place. For instance, both the northern and the southern species of flying squirrel are at the Schmeekly Reserve. Mm-hmm. Normally, you can't see them together.
Mm-hmm. And they're difficult to tell apart. You have to be pretty trained in looking at the color of their fur on their bellies, if you can get a good look at that, to tell them apart as they glide by in the dark.
So they just don't go.
Yeah.
They show you my belly?
Yeah. Yeah, we are in the Curtis Tension Zone, and Stevens Point in general is in that area. It's described in Vegetation of Wisconsin, a great classic book. And so those you do see those neat interplays of these different northern and southern species. One of the really neat things about Schmeekly Reserve is we consider ourselves the largest outdoor classroom on the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. The Schmeekly Reserve is owned by the university, and there are real long-running wildlife research studies that have been going on in Schmeekly Reserve, including white-tailed deer collaring and ear tagging and radio tracking of deer. You can even put radio collars, very small radio collars, on flying squirrels, and that has been done by wildlife students in Schmeekly Reserve.
I spent too much time watching Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are they take different tacks with their research studies. The students who come through the wildlife program, sometimes they're doing cavity nesting boxes for the squirrels and monitoring their usage of that. And they've actually it's interesting. Some of the more recent studies in the last couple of years have shown that there isn't maybe both northern and southern flying squirrels in Schmeekly Reserve. That may be changing, and that may be due to climate change as well.
And Vicki and Linda, I guess you could promote the Monk Gardens as being above the tension zone.
Actually, wow. The tension zone is fascinating to me. I don't really know the official boundary of that, but I was wondering with climate change if that will have it shift somewhat, mm-hmm. as we are seeing more the growing zone, for example, in Wisconsin was, well, nationally it was redone, but Wisconsin. And we can now grow different things in the north central Wausau area and a little bit north that used to grow in Stevens Point and south of us.
I'm in a different climate zone in Merrill than I was in 1993 when I moved here. If anyone who is listening doesn't think climate change is happening, all you have to do is look at the USDA agricultural maps of the different climate zones, and you will see that they are indeed changing, and the warmth is pushing further north.
Definitely is pushing further north.
What kind of a challenge does that pose for you in terms of the plants that you're planting at the Monk Gardens?
Well, one of the challenges is, for us, are the invasive species that exist, and that's somewhat because of the climate change. It's also because people frequently didn't appreciate or know, and there wasn't research done, that a species of plant such as buckthorn was going to become invasive. And our gardens, our wildflower woods, the pine forest, is healthy, has a very healthy invasion of buckthorn that we are slowly removing to improve the quality of the pine forest.
Healthy for the buckthorn, but not for the gardens.
No, definitely not for the pine trees. The impact of man on nature continues and always will be there.
We can use that as an educational point of view for people to see, you know, what it's doing, how it's crowding out other things, mm-hmm. and whether or not it's the buckthorn, which we have a lot of, but there's a few others. There's some honeysuckle.
No rush and all. Honeysuckle and buckthorn are our two biggest. I'm sure you've had to deal with them also.
Yes. So if you'd like to join a buckthorn patrol and help us in some eradication, we could probably accommodate you on that.
Megan Espy, how is climate change affecting the habitats in the Schmeekly Reserve?
The flying squirrel study is the more recent example that we have seen with that. I'm not sure specifically with the plant species. A lot of great professors on campus are doing research studies, looking at a lot of those things, and a lot of those research studies are detailed on our website if people would like more information about that.
And you've got an incredible diversity of plants and animals and birds there. The list of birds is more than 4 pages long.
Yeah, we have some great work that's been done by students and professors, and there are some species checklists on our website, including mammals and birds and fish and things like that. And the birds are great in terms of you can see waterfowl that nest on Lake Jonas and rest there during their spring and fall migration, like Canada geese and ducks. And what one bird that really surprises people in Schmeekly Reserve and is so fascinating to see is pileated woodpeckers mm-hmm. that are quite large.
Mm-hmm. and noisy.
And noisy. And we have great habitat for them. So right. if you're into woodpeckers of all sorts, Schmeekly Reserve is a great place to see them.
Well, that's why letting those trees fall down and that nature, you know, creates the habitats. And I think that's what we need to let people know, that we don't need all these manicured lawns with a lot of pesticides and then expect to have animals there because that kills them off.
Mm-hmm. And from the trees that fell in that 2011 windstorm in Schmeekly Reserve, where we left them, some of the follow-up studies looking at songbird and small mammal diversity showed an increase in those blowdown areas.
Right.
And again, you've got so many different habitats. The Burrard Oak Savanna, which is a large grassland with massive oaks. The Moses Creek Wetland, 17-acre wetland with green herons, Virginia rails, and other water birds. There's a wetland overlook on North Point Drive, the Trail of Reflections Pond, which is another natural area, and then, of course, Lake Joannes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Reflection Pond is a beautiful little spot on the half-mile Trail of Reflections loop with a nice swing bench and deck that it's tough to find that bench unoccupied, but if you are lucky enough to find that free, it's a great place to sit and reflect. And that was actually a livestock watering pond back in Schmeekly's farming days, but very naturalized now.
And we were talking about why people should visit the Monk Gardens and visit the Schmeekly Reserve in the summer. One thing we didn't mention about Lake Joannes is you can fish there.
You can fish there. There are certain uses that are not allowed in Schmiegler Reserve. One is not bringing dogs in because of the long-running wildlife studies we have. Various studies have shown that dogs can affect wildlife movement. And we also do not allow swimming in Lake Jonas because our first priority is to serve as a refuge. So we do want the lake to – you can imagine if 10,000 college students were allowed to swim in Lake Jonas, the effect it would happen.
But they were. I read on your website that in the late 70s, it was a popular swimming spot for UW-Stevens Point students. Why'd you stop it?
After the lake was established, swimming was allowed for a brief period, and it was very rough on the vegetation getting established around the lake to protect that. One of the funny anecdotes we like to share is that at one point, the Pointer, the UW-Stevens Point student newspaper, had a list of the top 10 beaches and for skinny dipping, and they said Lake Jonas. Well, swimming is not allowed in Lake Jonas. But fishing is allowed, and we just followed the state DNR fishing regulations.
And you've got a list of the fish, and there are walleye in there, and a lot of panfish, which you'd expect, crappies,
bluegills,
smallmouth and largemouth bass, northern pike, muskies.
Yep.
And
muskie.
A few, perhaps.
And the perch population apparently is no longer thriving as it once was in Lake Joannes, again, could be a sign of things changing climactically.
It could be, yeah. And there's great fishery studies going on through the fisheries department on campus where they do netting and all of that in the springtime.
And you let people take boats and canoes on the lake?
No motors, but boats and canoes and kayaks are allowed, yeah.
You've got bird watching and butterfly gardens at the Monk Gardens.
And we have a lovely pond, but it is not something that you can go fishing on at the pond. You can walk the pond. We have a number of paths. A number of years ago, we had a Eagle Scout do a project for us to mark off pathways in their pillars that have numbers on so people can begin and take a stroll. It's not nearly the size property. So on 21 acres, we are maximizing how to complement people's need to be out and exercise in nature and be able to stroll and do that while still supporting the natural part of the gardens.
And we've got a Facebook question. Can we bring our dogs for a hike at either of these places? On a leash, of course. Megan, not at
Schmiegler. Not at Schmiegler Reserve. We do encourage people to go on the Green Circle Trail, and I didn't mention that Schmiegler Reserve serves as the headquarters for the 26-mile Green Circle Trail, which goes all the way around the city of Stevens Point, connects a lot of the parks and green spaces. So the Green Circle Trail for about a mile and a half does go through Schmiegler Reserve, and dogs are not allowed on the Green Circle Trail portion in Schmiegler Reserve. You can walk your dogs on the sidewalks around Schmiegler Reserve, but not on the trails itself because of the wildlife studies that are going on and because of our goal to serve as a refuge and sanctuary.
What about at the Monk Gardens?
Currently, we are allowing dogs on leash. This will change as our gardens develop, but because we're still building the gardens, we don't have the real sensitive plants yet. But that will evolve, and then we will have to look at that policy. There are some gardens that have maybe a day open for people to come in with their dogs that we have seen in other botanical gardens across the country. It's usually at the end of the growing season when things aren't so sensitive. But, dog urine and feces and things like that are not good for plants. So that will change. But right now, we do allow it. We just ask people to pick up after the dogs because they don't pick up after themselves, and and to keep them on a leash to respect others that are in the gardens.
During our events, dogs are not allowed because we do have 1,000 people, sometimes over 1,000 people that come to an event, and that's just not a good place for the dog, and it's not a good place for the people.
Let's talk about some of the physical structures in the Monk Gardens. You've got this two-story treehouse. Tell me about that.
Oh, that is just a real gem. We had a wonderful donor, Mrs. Schutte, who came forward and offered to build a treehouse because when her children were little, they loved playing in the treehouse. It is a permanent structure. It's not made out of wood. It's made out of metal and some of the treated kind of wood that's not wood, looks like wood, however you laminated, whatever it would be called. That's not my area of expertise. It is two stories high. It is handicap accessible on one of the stories. And you can get a view of the pond. You can get a view of the woods. Our pond often has ducks. We've had some geese in the pond. No swans. It's not big enough for a swan to be able to take off, or loons. And it is just a fun, restful place. We've had concerts in the treehouse. We've had weddings happen in the treehouse. So it serves many, many purposes. But for the end, we have a summer program, Reading in the Treehouse. A number of school districts bring their summer school students to the gardens on a scheduled basis. And one of the activities they do is they sit and they read books in the treehouse. And it's so wonderful to see kids sitting and just enjoying nature and reading a book.
That was our first big building, but the new one that will be opening very soon, we're getting close to the end of the punch list, is our potager, which is a French term for a kitchen building. And this is the it's a pavilion, outdoor classroom. It also has permanent restrooms in it, which was a need that we had. But rather than just building a restroom building, we knew we wanted a kitchen educational area. So it's an outdoor classroom. It does have pull-down walls, so if we get a spring shower or summer shower or a cool day, we can pull down some protection. But we can hold a whole classroom in there. It has a demonstration counter for cooking so that we can show how to use the herbs and the vegetables and the fruit that are coming out of the gardens and be able to do demonstration classes there.
We have a presentation, one of our first presentations that's happening this July, on July 14th. Melinda Myers, that has been interviewed on public radio, is coming to Wausau. Sue's is bringing her here to do a class on, and I'll read it, Top 5 Strategies for Maximizing Your Garden Harvest. And that's on the 14th from 6 to 7. It's free, open to the public. And I'm looking forward to learning what I could do to get 5 top strategies for harvesting.
Megan Espy, the Schmeekly Reserve has a very significant building in it, which houses the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame and also the Land of Wealth Museum. Tell us about that.
Sure. The Schmeekly Reserve Visitor Center is open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day of the week except major holidays, so call ahead for holiday hours. There's a lot to do in that building, and there's a lot of folks who come and walk our trails and never actually step inside the building and aren't aware of all there is to see and do in there. There, when you first enter, you'll see a helpful information desk where you can get information about the trails and about what there is to do and see. And then there's a brow shop, which is a gift shop, a nice little gift shop that stocks cultural and natural items and gifts and things like that. We have a fabulous collection of field guides, so people in central Wisconsin who are looking for trees and birds and mushrooms and you name it, different field guides. It's a great place to check out our selection. And then as you continue through the building, you can enter the Land of Wealth Conservation Museum, which is a smaller museum that tells the story of conservation history in Wisconsin. So it talks about the cutover days and the logging, and before that, the Native American use of the land, up into, you know, the days of the wardens and looking for poachers, and ending with some conservation stories about people who are recognized in the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame. So as you leave the museum, you actually enter the formal gallery for the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame, which is a separate nonprofit organization that we partner with. So their gallery is located in our visitor center, and there are plaques with sketches of these various folks who have, through time, have had a real significant impact on the environmental legacy of Wisconsin.
We're going to take a short break today on Route 51. We're looking at two urban sanctuaries, the Schmeekly Reserve of Stevens Point and the Monk Botanical Gardens of Wausau, with Megan Espy, Linda Grilly, and Vicki Richmond Hawkins. I'm Glenn Moberg. We will be back with our final segment right after some music by The Move, who are moved by Flowers in the Rain.
I heard the flowers in the breeze make conversation with the trees. We need to leave reality behind me. With my commitments in a mess, my sleep is gone away. Deep rest in a world of fantasy. You'll find me.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include the Fox Cities Convention and Visitors Bureau and the Sugar Maple Festival. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. More information at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Farm Shed of Stevens Point, presenting a workshop on adding value to your farm, Friday, July 1st, hosted by Lonely Oak Farm in Millidor and Stony Acres Farm in Athens. Details at farmshed.org.
I can hear a bullfrog calling me. Water in my rope still hanging to the tree. Love to kick my feet wet down a shallow water. Shoot my leg, I'm packing back to mother. Give up a fast frog, give it across Green River.
Creedence Clearwater Revival, reminiscing about bullfrogs, dragonflies, and shallow water. I'm Glenn Moberg today on Route 51. We're talking about two urban sanctuaries with Megan Espy of the Schmeakley Reserve of Stevens Point, Linda Grilly and Vicki Richmond Hawkins of the Monk Botanical Gardens of Wausau. Let's talk about sustainability and specifically the sustainability of your two institutions. Megan, we've heard about the $500 million in budget cuts to university systems. UW-Stevens Point was hit very hard. How has that affected you? And if people want to make sure the money continues to roll in to support the Schmeakley Reserve, what do they have to do?
Okay. Schmeakley Reserve does receive about a third of its annual operating budget through the university, but other funding comes in through various businesses that we have. We actually have a cedar sign business in our basement, which surprises a lot of people. So a lot of those cedar signs you see at parks and trails around central Wisconsin were likely made in our sign shop. I mentioned the gift shop earlier. We also have a series of interpreters' handbooks. I didn't mention that we teach a lot about the environmental interpretation profession, and students who are studying that course do our public nature programs during the fall and spring, so I encourage you to sign up for our mailing list to hear about those. But one way that in the more recent past we have looked at diversifying our funding for the future is the development of the Friends of Schmeakley Reserve, and this is one way that people can get involved in the work that we do, and they can join. An annual membership is available for this Friends group. You get a lot of nice benefits. You get a newsletter mailed to you three times a year about what's going on at the reserve, and you also get some special invitations to different events.
And you've got, what, four full-time people working there? There's you and Ron Zimmerman and
We have two full-time employees, myself and our interim director, Jim Buchholz.
And Ron was a director at one time, but
Zimmerman,
he's now a consultant.
Yes, Ron Zimmerman was hired as the first director of Schmeakley Reserve in 1979 and served until December of 2015 when he retired. So he was the only director so far in the history of Schmeakley Reserve until we have that position filled again in the near future.
Linda Grilly and Vicki Richmond Hawkins, same question to you. If people think the Monk Botanical Gardens is important, they want to see it continue, you've got a lot of volunteers. What can they do to help you out?
A volunteer, that would be wonderful. Also donations. We are a 501c3. Most of our funding comes through our membership, our events, donations that we get from individuals, and we are very active at writing grants and to secure money so that the gardens can continue to grow. We do have some of our events that people have a small, very small charge to come to. Most of our education has been free and no charge for that. We have one event coming up that is free, and that shows part of our sustainability is because of our strong collaboration with others, including other 501c3. Mm-hmm. Story Walk is coming up on July 9th and September 10th. And that's done with the library system.
We've talked about how these two places help people, individual people who are living in our cities, but they also help the tourism economy, Vicki. Mm-hmm.
Very much so. And, in fact, we were recognized by the Central Wisconsin Visitors Bureau with an impact award because they see it as a destination for people to come to. We had a group up here from Marquette County 2 days ago. We have groups that come through from the Twin Cities. It's a great place to stop. Maybe they're going on to another botanical garden, such as Green Bay. So we see the help for that.
And, Megan, the Schmeakley Reserve, too, is vital to the economy of the greater Stevens Point area.
Yeah, it's a real destination for folks who are coming to walk our own trails as well as to access the Green Circle Trail in Stevens Point. So we're seeing a lot of great summer visitation right now.
Thank you, all three of you, for being with us today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Not done yet.
Miss it, taste some moonshine. Taste God on my high. Country road.
We want to thank today's guests, Megan Espy, Outreach Coordinator of the Schmeekly Reserve of Stevens Point, and Linda Grilly, President, and Vicki Richmond Hawkins, Past President of the Monk Botanical Gardens of Wausau. You can find out more about the Schmeekly Reserve at uwsp.edu/schmeekly. You can find out more about the Monk Botanical Gardens at rwmonkgardens.org. You will find links to both places on our Route 51 Facebook page. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer and on-air producer, Rick Ryer. Thanks to Jane Ritger for handling the phone calls. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by Henry Mancini, County Crows, Sting, Jesse Colin Young, The Move, Creedence Clearwater Revival, and Toots and the Maytals. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.